This is an Africa Global Radio production.
You make me feel like a natural woman.
All right, that's Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. Aretha Franklin, may she rest in peace. And Emmanuel Kennedy, he can't breathe. Yes, he can't breathe out of, you know, he's awestruck. He's awestruck. The song pushes the right buttons for him. I don't know if it makes him feel like a natural woman, though. He's a guy. he's a guy. Anyway, I haven't mentioned him. Let's send our shouts to the team behind us, manning the machines. We've got Mickey or Michael with us here. We've got Victor. We've got Elsie as well. So we're not alone here, right? This is not magic. We've got a whole team behind us making this program a success, making it possible so that we can reach out to you no matter where you are in the corners of the motherland, Africa. I am Prince Benjamin, PB for short, and we've got Debbie here with us. Beautiful Debbie. She's glowing today.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and we've got Sandra as well. See, I can tell you something. I can tell you that we've got a good representation of shades in this room.
Mm.
You know, a good representation of all the possible shades on the continent, right? Yes, we've got let's see, Debbie is quite on the creamy side.
Creamy.
Yes, Debbie's on the creamy side. We've got Sandra, who is like, you know, when you put a bit of milk into your coffee or your hot chocolate, right? But it's not too much, right? It's not too much cream. Aha, that's the lady Sandra for you. Michael, yeah, Michael is kind of on the same trajectory or tangent with Sandra. Kennedy is like when you take your coffee strong, right?
And yes, isn't it a strong African man?
Anyway, Elsie is like, you push the milk a bit, but you're not yet at Deborah. You push the milk a bit. Yeah, you put in milk. Vic.
I think he's the closest to Vic, Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie. Yeah, kinda. So there's a lot of milk going on, milk stuff happening here. Your parents were applying too much milk.
Wait, I'm waiting to hear yours.
Mine?
Yes.
Your
what?
It is what it is. Just know I'm a strong African man, okay?
Yeah, and
I'm gonna give you some very nice
shade.
Babies. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Uh-huh. Elsie, why? Please. Yeah. Elsie. Anyway, we've got to talk about albinism. And yes, that's another shade of Africa. And we definitely have to talk about that. It's a brilliant, beautiful gene pool on the motherland, Africa. We've got Mr. Kabu Richard with us this afternoon. Let's give it up for Mr. Richard. Yes.
Welcome
to the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm very good. And you?
I'm fab. Thank you. Thank you for coming. How far are you coming from?
Ridge. Yeah.
Ridge. Which one? North Ridge? Accra?
Accra.
Ridge?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Not quite far, but not very far, right? Yeah. Within the city. How are you doing?
I'm very good.
You're good?
Sure.
Okay. So we're talking about albinism today.
Sure.
Right? And apparently there's a family that has a Guinness World Record. You know, it's a family of albinos or people living with the albinism condition. I don't know which one is appropriate to say. You would educate us on that, definitely. I was really thrilled to see. I was really thrilled to see the family, and it was a woman, the mother of the family, I believe, or the wife in the family, who introduced them. And everybody's known for something. So they introduced one as the funny guy. There's the sensitive guy or lady in there. She went around, you know, did all of that. And then she asked, I wonder what they think about me. And then all of them in unison, like a choir, they said she's the smart one. Right. I think it's a video that you should watch. Okay. It was posted last year. So it's a year old when I looked at it on YouTube. It was quite interesting. Mm. Right. Do you know about them, Richard?
No.
You don't?
No. I think this is the first time hearing of that.
Right. Okay.
So I will check it out.
Right. Mm. So they were excited about some of, you know, the unique stuff about their condition, their hair, their eyes. Let me start from the eyes. Apparently, right, from the documentary or the video that I watch, people living with albinism, their eyes change color sometimes?
Sure.
Okay.
It varies.
It varies.
Okay. Yeah.
So one person who is living with a condition could have green eyes today and blue eyes tomorrow?
No. Everyone has different. Maybe I might have, as you see mine,
right.
Brown.
Right.
Someone might have green, someone might have other color.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
So naturally we have the types of albinism. Mm. We have the ocular and then the oculocutaneous albinism.
Come again?
The ocular and the oculocutaneous.
Okay.
So I have the oculocutaneous. I have all the... Move the hair, the eye, and then the body. Mm-hmm. Then there are people who are dark, but then they have just the eye, who have brown eyes, who have brother colored eye. And the people who are dark and just have the hair color, which is my hair color.
The blonde.
Mm. Yeah, so those are the ocular people.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's interesting. So does it affect every part of your body, or it's just some specific places, like you mentioned, eyes, you know, hair? And
yes, like the eye, the hair, and then the body. So when you have the glucoteneous, you have all part of the body. Mm. And when you have the ocular, it might be just the eye or just the hair.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, is it hereditary?
Yes,
where does it come from? Or could it be that, because I know when it comes to so-called little people, right, people with dwarfism, I know that sometimes when they give birth, it can be a regular height.
Sure.
Sometimes it could be, you know, someone with dwarfism. Is it like that with albinism? Is it in the family just like a certain, you know?
So with albinism, then both parents must be a carrier of the gene.
Okay.
Right.
So for me, like this, my mother's family, the father and the other people has it.
Mm.
So growing up, I got to know that it's a family something, so I am cool with that.
Ah.
Yeah, so both parents need to be a carrier of the gene, not one, both parents. So if one parent has it, you know who to get albinism.
Okay.
So both
every child they produce won't get it, or someone might get a form of it? Or...
Maybe one might get out of it.
Okay. Right, yeah. Right.
So I'm from a family of 10. Mm. I'm a twin. Okay. The last two bonds, we are twins, and then we have albinism.
You're 10.
Oh.
Yeah. I have a twin brother.
Okay.
But the first eight.
The first eight do not have.
Oh, they don't have it.
Yeah.
But the last two who are twins have it.
Yeah.
What's the probability like split? Like,
how? Yeah, is there science, you know, data on this?
Well, guys. Might be scientific, but then I think from God's own nature, he know how he will put his things here. But then there are also been people who have all persons with albinism as their children, and people who have none of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Within your family, right, when you realized that you have this condition, but your siblings, those who came before you, did not have the condition, within the family, what was the relationship dynamics like?
Oh, it was cool. I didn't even know. Maybe sometimes I don't know until I get to stand in front of the mirror for another. I'm different from my brothers and sisters, because the family love was there. Mother was there for me. Father was there. Everyone was there.
Okay.
You can't come to my house and call me names. My mother will beat you up.
Okay.
You can't come to my house and call me names.
Mother bear. Mother bear.
So my mom was there. My dad was there. My brothers were there.
Mm.
And then and I see my brothers myself. So.
Right.
We are good to go.
Right.
You are not alone.
Did you have any instance? Because I know, I mean, boys, right? We can be very silly. Boys play by insults,
sure.
Right? And ridiculing each other.
Sure.
Did you have instances like that growing up with your siblings, where they would use your condition to troll you or something like that?
Not really, but then they wouldn't call you maybe Jato.
Right, right.
So I think that is my senior brother's nickname.
That's your senior brother's nickname.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so you are the Kakra or the younger.
I'm the younger one.
Of the twins.
Yeah.
You are the younger one.
Yes.
Okay. They call your elder brother Jato, which is the short form of Ofri Jato.
Yes.
And Ofri Jato, for those who are listening outside of Ghana, Ofri Jato is the name reserved for people living with albinism,
yes.
Right? It can
yes.
be used in a derogatory way,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
However, as he said, some people have accepted the name and they are okay with it,
yeah.
Right? Sure. It's become a nickname that people use.
Sure.
And Mommy Bear was not beating them up. I mean,
no.
This is eternal. She could just come here.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was right. not having any issues
with
that.
Mommy's cool with that.
Okay.
She's cool with that.
Yeah.
I am also curious about back in school. And kids can just be funny, like you said about boys.
Sure.
Kids, people say kids are mean. They just say the way.
Oh yeah. They just observe and
talk. Yes, yeah.
Right. Yes,
but
yes,
it just
so,
says, so. Yeah.
What happened was growing up. Actually, I have no idea of who I am until I came to the city to school.
Yeah.
When I started to read and I got to know. But then, if someone make fun of me by calling me names, I most of the time ignore them. If I feel like I can educate you, I have to get closer to you and educate you.
Okay.
Because it is my work to let you know what it is. So I'm not to attack you.
Okay.
So that's what I do. Yeah. For the discrimination, it's normal. It comes always.
Yeah.
But you can't do anything about it. The only thing you need is just to have to educate the people. Those who have the conscience will take it. Those who don't have, you ignore them.
How about the school system? Like, was there any discrimination or any opportunities you were missing out on or you were exempted from because of your...
Sure. The school system in Ghana does not help. Let me say in Africa.
Mm.
You know, when it comes to persons with albinism, you see I'm wearing lens. This lens is even for walking.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm. I have a lens which I used to read and write.
Okay.
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 Now, if I don't have that lens, I might not be able to see from the whiteboard or the blackboard.
Yeah.
Now,
which is different from the one you're using right now.
Now, even with the lens, you still need to put me in front of the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just,
so, for example, your background, I mean, just where you are sitting, so that I can see from the board. The teacher is supposed to write in large font size that I can see. Okay, so all this counts to some of the challenges we face. You know, you go to the school because of my height, then you put you at the back, the tall guys. Meanwhile, when I'm there, I can't see from the
because
board.
Because they arrange according to height in school. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Yes.
But because of your condition, it works against
you. And because the teacher doesn't have any idea about the condition,
right.
he also doesn't know.
Right.
But most teachers, when you try to confront them, that is where the problem comes.
Yeah,
they tell you, you don't know. You can't tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult. Sometimes you need to get a friend to assist you in writing.
Oh.
So most of the times, I have to go to school with new books so that whenever there is a class test on the board, I have to give the book to my friend to write the questions for me to copy from that book.
Wow.
Because it's a very difficult thing from
that's
the board.
Stressful.
In my back in school, one of my older siblings had this popular albino guy, and he was really cool and very intelligent, but he also had the same condition, so they put him in front.
Right.
Of the class, and even with that, he still struggled to see.
Yes.
He had a very serious.
So that is the issue. So you need to get a teacher who understands the condition, or the teacher is willing to reach the question out to you to write.
Mm.
So some of the challenges are that, and then the classmates to themselves, some of them are not friendly when it comes to the condition.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm not able to see from them, so I want to go and stand in front of the board and write.
Yeah, they don't care.
Then they will start shouting, "Hey, leave!"
You're right.
You see, you
right.
know that. You know
right.
that.
Yeah,
you know that thing.
You block my view. Block
right.
my
yeah.
view.
Right.
So those are some of the challenges. And then the school system, our textbooks are not accessible. Now, the font size in the textbooks are very, very small, which
right,
makes it very difficult for us to read.
Mm.
Even with you having a magnifying lens, you still can't read.
Mm.
So sometimes we appeal that the font size will be increased, maybe 19, 20, for us to be able to see and then see.
Right,
write.
So that would have implications for the publishers,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Cost implications.
So currently, that's another agenda we are pushing up as an association so that we will help our brothers who are kind of so those of us who have gone through that challenge, our younger ones won't go through that,
right?
Yeah,
yes. So we could have just like we have the Braille for visually impaired people,
yes,
we could have a special line of books you know, for those who are living with a condition of albinism, right. That would be excellent.
Yeah, because education, like that is the first place we should have good information for this condition. And if the ones who are supposed to be educating us are not doing this, then who else is going to do it?
Right.
But I'm curious, at what point in the educational system, because we have until university, and I know the university, they have like they take care of the, like you said, the brails for the blind.
The visually,
yes,
blind, yes.
The visually impaired.
So we are starting from the scratch. We want you to start from the scratch. Mm. You know, this advocacy and campaigning need to start from the scratch. Mm. So when normally the schools where we have our younger ones in schools, then we go there to educate the teachers and the students themselves for the friendship and association, so that growing up, things will have to work in order. Because if you don't start from the scratch and the person go to the university, I'm not sure that anything will change. So that's where we're starting from. So we are still working with Ministry of Education and other bodies so that we can help put all this in order.
So we're talking to Kabu Richard. He is a gentleman who is living with a condition called albinism. And he's from the Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism. Yes. And it's the Nigerians listening. The short form of the organization's name is JAPA.
JAPA.
GAPA, rather.
GAPA. All right. So you want to cause
Nigerians
trouble.
Are not interested in that one. Yeah. I thought it was in pronunciation similar to...
JAPA.
Yeah, uh-huh, because that's become popular. Anyway, you are the programs and research officer for GAPA.
Yes.
For GAPA. Right. Can you define the condition? What is it exactly?
Okay, so albinism is a result of genetic disorder of melanin in the body. The melanin is what produces the black pigment which you have.
Right.
So I don't have melanin, that's why I have this pale color. Yeah. So albinism does not have anything to do with spirituality or magic or anything. But then it's just a disorder in the body. As a result of lack or less melanin in the body. So that is why you see some people who have melanin in their body, but they don't have melanin in their eye, and their eyes are brown.
Right.
You have people who are all dark, but they don't have melanin in their hair.
Right.
And that's why they have my hair color.
Right.
Yeah.
So melanin is, so basically melanin is the color.
Yes, it's the pigment that produces the black color.
The creative color that is poured into your eyes, your skin, whatever.
I need education.
But when it's not, when it's reduced, right, or not there at all, that's when we begin to see these, you know, manifestations, physical manifestations.
Yes. I don't know if you're the one I should be asking, but albinism and our white folks, what's the difference? Because I know that they also do not have the melanin.
Right, okay, right. So, but you see, I think, would you answer this?
No, if you want to answer.
No, go on. I mean,
I think...
Because you are the one...
For them, I don't know what is their problem, but what I know is albinism is a result of lack of melanin.
Right, right. Yes. And, and also...
Yes. They do have albinism.
Yes,
whites also have albinism.
But then it's very difficult to know when they are together.
When they,
right. the family that I mentioned has the Guinness World Record. I think they are of white skin. I can't... You know, white means Caucasian. And they are not... I don't know if they are Europeans.
Okay.
But their skin is white, like it looks white.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you mentioned this. It can also appear in white people.
Yes.
But you also notice that, as Richard Kabu said, albinism is not just a pigment issue. It's your eyes and other things, right?
So the pigment in your eye.
Come again?
You see,
he has a problem, a challenge with his eyesight because of the albinism condition. But white people don't, by default, have that. I think that may be one of the differences between albinism and being white.
Sure.
So this is no troll, by the way, to our white brothers and sisters. We're just inquisitive. We just want to know.
So one thing to this. Now, when you check the word albino, it defines both humans, animals, and plants.
Okay, so it can be, it can manifest in animals and plants. I think I've seen albinism in, tigers? Tigers and lions?
Yes. So, as a result of we being humans, we are referred to as persons with albinism, not albinos. So it can be very difficult when you see me calling me albino and I don't respond. It's not that I don't want to, but then I want you to refer to me by the right way. If you don't know, just call me bra, I will stand. But if you call me other names, I will not stand for you.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like calling a visually impaired person the blind one.
Yes.
Or the blind man, woman.
If you see a black man and you call him Bibi Nigra, he gets angry.
Right.
So why would you want to refer someone because of his color to?
You mentioned it's not a condition that is brought on by magic, spiritual, you know, issues. I know in some parts of Africa, we've had a challenge. We've had a challenge because the pastor mentioned a place and made an observation. So I'm not going to mention which part of Africa.
Sure.
Just so the chiefs there don't call me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, there is a part of Africa where albinos are hunted down, supposedly for their magical powers.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Is this something that is happening also in Ghana?
I'm
not in the know.
So in Ghana, there are places where persons with albinism are not allowed to go.
Okay.
Mm. One is Abasi.
Where's Abasi?
Abasi, right.
Yeah, a town. I don't know. I don't know where, but I think it's within the Eastern region.
Mm.
And that one is Mori.
Mm. Mori.
And then
Central region.
Mori in Central region?
Yeah.
On your way to Saltpond, is it?
Yeah. And Akwemufi.
Akwemufi?
Yes.
That's in the Ashanti region, is it?
No, it should also be in Eastern.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are the few places. Persons with albinism are not allowed to go there.
Mm. Mm.
Some are even banished from the town. Some are even attacked, killed because of their condition.
It is Ghana.
People also believe that persons with albinism bodies produce some magical powers and give them money. So,
Yeah. So they kill them for
money rituals.
Mm.
So, in the sense that once persons with albinism die, you don't hire the death or do posters because it's likely that people might go to break the casket and move the body.
They'll raid two raiders.
Yes.
Okay,
so that's the reason.
So those are some of the reasons.
So that's why we don't see the obituaries.
You know,
obituaries are there. We do, but then
it's not publicized.
It's not more.
It's just in that community.
Yes. So people claim also believe that persons with albinism don't die. But then.
That is why, right?
But then let me say this. You remember there was a time a young student at West African Senior High School was knocked down by a car.
Yeah.
That lady was a young girl with albinism.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. I have lost my twin brother too.
Oh.
And we have a lot of persons with albinism who has died.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. So I know that rumor where they say albinos don't die.
Yes.
And I think it's because we hardly see the obituaries publicized by albinos. So that's possibly where that rumor.
Personally, when I lost my twin brother, I made a post on Facebook, which is called, just to clear the air on that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
So those things are just people believe, but then there's nothing true about that.
Mm.
I don't see how someone living on earth, walking, having body, flesh, blood in him, will just disappear. No, it's not possible. Because even Bible said that when Jesus come and then people are still living, he had to transform them. What is he going to transform? He had to transform them into spirits. They are not going to die, disappear with their mortal body.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's no way. We do everything.
Right. We know, just for context, Moses Fua Moning, who is a renowned journalist, right, in Ghana.
Yes.
He lives with a condition, but he's risen, you know, in the ranks, and he's a famous journalist, as I mentioned, in the country, and of other competencies as well. Salif Keita, who's a legendary musician of Africa, with the iconic song Africa, also lives with a condition. So it doesn't tell on your competence or abilities, you know, it doesn't. You can be anybody you want to be or anything you want to be if you're living with a condition.
Yes.
Are there any, what's it called? Are there any special things about albinos? Is there an ability that albinos have, or some, you know, in quotes, talents that you have that regular people don't have?
Oh, we can do everything.
Mm.
Everything. Despite the thing, the Bruno determines to be on the sun, we can do everything.
Mm.
So I'm a sound technician myself.
Right.
Oh.
Elsie's my classmate. We attended the same school.
Elsie behind the camera?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
that's
great. So you are home?
Yeah, he's home.
You're home. Okay.
So we have a lot of person that brings in who does a lot of stuff. I hope you know Newton. I don't know if you know him. He's one of the ministries in education. He's a special inclusive education. He's a director.
Okay.
We have a lot of people. We have people who are nurses, who are, if you have Tankwado fighters.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So, I'm just curious. Maybe this could be a jump, but are there policies, because you said that we've already spoken about the educational system not being so supportive, but are there already policies that support or kind of give some sort of support to people living with albinos, or are there certain policies that you think, or your group, your advocacy group, think that should exist to support
to ensure your easy assimilation into community and
yes, yes. So currently, we have an action plan with Parliament, and we are still pushing that the Parliament will pass this plan to come to existence, so that it will support and fight for the rights of persons with albinism.
Mm.
You know, in Ghana, it is very difficult for people to accept or understand that albinism is a form of disability.
Mm.
Okay, so albinism is a form of disability as a result that, one, we have visual problems. Mm. So persons with albinism are partially blind people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we are still working on this action and plan so that it will come to existence to integrate and support our people or support us, so that we can also move us the way other people are moving freely.
Mm.
Because sometimes when someone gets you offended, you have no law to back your accusations.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't go, unless maybe you go, you meet a judge who is passionate about issues concerning albinism, and that's where they're going to look deeper into your issues. So we're working with Siraj and also to see that this, some of these things we'll put in documentation that we'll present to Parliament.
Right. So this, these eyesight problem and all of that, does it has implications for driving and the rest, right?
Yes. But you have people who drive.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you need special glasses
to drive?
Yeah.
Oh, not really. You can drive.
You're sure?
Sure. You can just take off this lens and drive freely.
Okay, because you mentioned...
Despite you can see the way forward, you are good to go. Even though the DVLA does not want to approve those conditions for persons with albinism driving, but
that could be a policy issue.
We are working on all those things.
Because DVLA, when I was getting my license, I took an eye test.
Yes.
Yeah. When you go to renew, you will take the eye test again.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and that's, excuse me to say, that's again people with regular eyesight.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? So,
sure.
If albinism comes with eye problems, how do you drive?
Oh, you drive. The normal cars. Everyone drives.
Is there an aid? Like, do you do something that helps you? Do you use, because I know there are compensatory
people might sensors. Use lens, others to some others who don't use lens. Yeah.
Some use glasses, others don't.
Yes.
So what aids you on the road?
On the road, nothing. The exception of maybe a light will bounce on you.
Mm. Okay.
Apart from that, nothing else. And I don't think when you are going for it, there should be a light bouncing.
Right,
on you.
Yeah.
So you are good to go.
Except the silly guys who nothing. Drive with the highlights.
So is it that the DVLA gives you the license currently? They give out this license.
No, you know something in Ghana?
No.
In Ghana, your appearance is being judged. They see you and they feel like, oh, wait there, you can't do it.
Mm. Meanwhile, it's a human thing.
Meanwhile, I have not put the person into action or into test to see whether the person can do it or not.
Yeah.
Mm.
So they end up concluding on you without giving you a trial or anything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you can even go and look for a job and then just get there, they tell that we will call you later.
Right, that's a form of discrimination.
And they conclude on you that, this one, if you employ him, he can't do anything.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you've not asked me to do the work for you to see whether I can do it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So those are some of the perceptions.
Mm.
Yeah.
You've been talking about the visual challenges, right? But there's also something I learned about the skin and sunlight.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So now, one enemy of person with albinism is skin cancer, which is very, very dangerous to our health.
Yeah.
So you see, I'm in my long sleeves.
Right.
Yes. I am not supposed to expose my body to the sunlight.
Mm.
Not even a little of it. So we have some care product that we use.
Okay.
And now one of the advocacy challenges we are pushing is that governments to include our sun care products on the national health insurance and our lenses.
Okay.
Because the sun care products are very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We don't produce them in Ghana here. Mm. So I think the last time I checked was 175 cedis. And now I think
175
cedis.
And how big is this?
It's not that big. I think it's around the lotion that women use. We have sizes.
The tube?
You see, the women have this.
Like 50
ml. Yeah, 50 ml, 35 ml size.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So it depends on the size.
Small and expensive.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I think right now it's around 200 and something cedis.
Mm.
So imagine if I don't work, if I don't have money, how can I afford it? So those are some of the things we push the government to include those things on the national health insurance, the issue of lens.
Mm.
So if I tell you how it cost me to get this lens, you won't believe it. I couldn't buy it from Kolibu because it was so, so expensive.
Right.
And I had to go to a different lens shop with my results to get it at a lower price.
Mm.
You do several eye tests and at the end, the money for you to buy the lens is finished.
Right.
So you can't buy the lens, even though you have the result, but then you can't get the lens.
Right.
So these are some of the challenges. So the healthcare products and about the skin cancer, It's a very deadly disease. Most persons that have been eating, especially those who are the northern side.
Because of the sunshine.
Yes, are facing. It's very, very dangerous. And I think we've lost a few people out through that. Yes, and the cure is very, very expensive.
Oh, there's a cure for it?
Yes. And you know, we don't have dermatologists in Ghana.
But we have a few.
There are about two.
Close to nothing, but we have a few.
I think Engage Now Africa brought in one from, I think, the US, who's working at Kolebo, that's one of them. And then the other two, they are working together. But then their services are very, very expensive.
Right.
You can't just stand up and go there, you are going for skin check.
Right. What about Rabito? Rabito does skin stuff.
So they are private.
Okay, you mean the,
and that's
the
more money.
Yeah.
Private means more money.
The government, they are not able to pay.
Right, then, so the private will be expensive.
So we all push that all these things should be included on the health insurance.
Right. Is
at least once I need to go for a skin check.
Right. Ah, right.
Because a little cut on your body, you might not even think it's skin cancer, but then as far as the sun hits it,
it'll be trouble.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So it means without the melanin in your skin, or because of the reduced amount of melanin, you are exposed to harms that, you know, regular skins are protected against.
Yes. So when you are being hit by the sun, you see the skin become reddish in the way.
Right, yes.
In the way, then it starts itching.
Right.
As you scratch, it develops into... Even when you have a normal sore, and the sun light falls on it, because you don't have melanin to protect the sun,
that'll be trouble.
It starts getting into something else.
Right. Is there a special diet for people living with albinism?
No. Unless maybe the person is allergic.
Right, okay.
If not,
you eat everything. Right. But are there what's it called? Are there life modifications that help, you know, people living with a condition? Maybe if you eat this particular food, or if you sleep at this time, or if you are in the shade at, you know, do you have any lifestyle?
So the only thing is, maybe you should avoid the sun.
That's all.
You should wear long sleeves. You should wear cap or hat. You should apply your sunscreen. Those are the only things. Apart from that, nothing else. You should don't do works in the sun.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is why we don't often see people living with albinism outside.
Yes.
Oh, that's I'm thinking of the average person with albino who can't afford all these things he just needs.
Yep. Already, it's a marginalized group.
That is the challenge. Yeah. That's a challenge.
And I believe that's why the advocacy they are doing is to involve scientific, like that scientific knowledge, so that people are being told, okay, this is what these people can do scientifically, and this is what they cannot do. And so we need policies to back all of these claims for them, and not just leave them be on their own to try and sort this out.
So we can do everything despite the sun is not on. So when you tell me to do a construction and it's 4 p.m. and above, perfect, I'll do it for you. I remember I used to do
things that I was after. So you, when you work, you have to work outside. You need to work when the sun is going down.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Or you can work with you wearing your long sleeve, your cape. That's why your body is not exposed to the sun.
Right.
Yes.
But that's a lot of sweating.
Yes.
Right?
In this part.
You can't work without living. It's very difficult times now.
Right.
You can't be in your room 24/7 and won't work.
Right. So does it mean that for someone living with albinism, this is possibly the time to learn an online skill and, you know, work on the internet, you know, because as you said, you can't live without working.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So that could be something that you could.
You know, some challenges is that most persons with albinism are not educated because of the stigma they face in school. They go to school where people make fun of them. So because they can't stand it, they end up withdrawing from school.
Right.
Wow.
So the person end up going to school maybe at early age or not at all. So sometimes learning from online are not,
it'll be difficult. So do you have interventions for this? Do you, like your advocacy group, right? Do you have interventions where you have classes, you know, you also train people in skilled work, you know, educate people, you have programs, that scholarships that maybe send people to international schools or something like that? Do you have anything like
currently
that?
Currently, the situation is having a lot of financial challenges because it's very difficult for people to believe that albinism is a form of disability to support. And so the support is not coming. You know, we are an NGO, we are not a government body, so we have to generate our own funds. But then as to when we have funds, we are able to do some one or two training and teachings for our people to be able to encourage them to stand firm not to give up, because discrimination is a very serious thing. I can compare discrimination to racism.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Because racism is a form of discrimination, right?
Because it's very hard to discriminate. People lost their lives. So sometimes you do this thing to educate them. The little push you can, we offer them medical support and stuff. That is what we are able to do. But when we get more funds, we are able to put them into skills and those things. But then we under a mother organization, which is GFD, the Ghana Federation of Disability Organizations, who organize training and support people with disabilities. Sometimes we help our members to apply for some opportunities.
Okay, so we are in a generation where you are able to, technology is able to tell you the gender of a baby in a mother's womb at a certain point before they come out. Is it the same for albinos? For people with albinism?
I can't really prove that fact, yes, because I don't think that one is really...
So what should a parent do? Parents who, you know, you give birth and your child has the condition, right? What would you say that the parents should do? How should they receive it?
It's a blessing. I wouldn't lie to you. It's a blessing. I have enjoyed a lot of privileges. It's not because I'm educated and I know, but then with my condition as a person, I'm proud of it. I don't get shy of my gifting knows me. I don't give a fuck to anyone.
Please watch the language for me.
Sorry.
I understand where it's coming from. I totally get it.
I don't stand in any form of anything, but then as a mother, when you have a child with dementia, make sure that you don't put your child in the sun. People believe that when you have a baby, you put the baby in the sun, the baby becomes dark. No. You
end
up killing the child. The child will die. You will develop cancer. So just take care of your child. Do the necessary things you do for every baby. And they are good to go.
Right. Let's explore what you just said. Let's explore some more. Because, you know, again, that's what I'm after. That's why I'm asking a parent who gives birth to a child who has albinism. One of them, as you highlighted, is they think when they put the child in the sunshine or in the sun, they would have melanin.
Yeah.
They'll become darker and develop melanin. So they, in that sense, they're thinking, excuse me to say, when you roast or grill something, it becomes dark.
Yes.
So they are thinking melanin is the sun grilling or roasting us.
Oh my goodness.
Which is education.
Dangerous ignorance, right?
Yes.
Dangerous ignorance.
Very, very dangerous.
Right. But you in a certain way, for an uneducated person,
that makes sense.
It makes sense.
It does.
Yes.
For an uneducated person, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they've observed things go dark in the sun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know people who are light skinned who complain sometimes when they walk in the sun a lot, they darken up a bit.
Yeah. Yes.
We know why people chase after tanning. They go to beaches in Florida, Morocco, and the rest, and
they
tan up.
They
have machines that tan people. So that may be what they are thinking, but that it's dangerous to to a child living with albinism.
Yes. Far difference for persons with albinism because we don't have melanin.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's
it's so bad for us.
Do we know what produces that your group, do you know any research that has exposed or revealed what produces melanin? Can it be, is there a synthetic form of it? Like today that we are modifying plants and animals and the like. Is there any research like that?
So this is a genetic condition. I don't think nothing can happen because it's not a medical condition. If it were to be medical, then maybe doctors might have ways and means to... I think there was a time I met a woman and then she was like, when she gave birth, the first three daughters were persons with albinism, but the last one might be. So she took an injection, and then, but the child is like kind of abnormal. So I didn't meet him.
The injection was supposed to do what?
To turn him into
a regular skinned person.
Yes.
Oh my God.
But the child is abnormal. I think they are no more in Ghana. They used to be in Ghana some time ago.
Wow, that's more trouble because a person living with albinism is not mentally unstable.
No.
It has nothing to do with intellect God, it has nothing to do with the mind.
No.
It's just a skin or
skin disorder.
Body issue.
Yes.
Right. But now you've increased your problems.
We need a lot of education around this topic.
Yeah.
So you need to be careful about the doctor you're consulting with.
Sure, sure.
Don't be too desperate.
Sure.
Right, because a child with albinism is not... Sure.
It's a death sentence.
It's not a death sentence.
Yeah, and I mean, the health practitioners, they need education.
Right, yeah. Teachers, because you mentioned, health practitioners.
In fact, everyone.
Right.
You know...
And thank God you're here to educate us.
My twin brother was sick. Actually, he has a farm he does in the evening when he's four thereabout. So I think I was on a farm for him, and then my sister took him to the hospital. According to my sister, the doctors refused to take care of him because they were thinking when they approach him, they might be infected with the condition.
The doctors. Right.
Yes.
Doctors.
Yes.
But that's the thing. Ignorance is ignorance.
So
ignorance does not discriminate.
They'll be educated about this thing.
They never attended to him.
You know, I'm thinking from what Richard, you're saying, from what you're saying, because you even said that there are no dermatologists in Ghana. There are, but I believe that it's an area, a field, a place that we need a lot of specialists taking interest in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But we don't.
So now the GFD is pushing up for disability issues to be involved in the health institute. So when you come to school as a nurse, you have been taught about disability.
Is it that they are not learning about these things right now?
I think now they are being put into those processes.
But
I think previously most people don't know. So a friend told me that when she gave birth to her son, a nurse ran away to call her colleagues to come and look at what will we be? Sorry to say.
Oh.
She has given birth to something. And then that's what she heard. Instead, she got angry. She didn't want to go and take care of their child. Her mother have to come and talk to her before she has to go. So our health practitioners, some of them are very, very ignorant about issues concerning albinism and disability in general.
Right. Sandra, you were making an observation.
First of all, I'm very shocked. Mm. But, you know, you mentioned about having people specializing in, researching or gaining knowledge about people with albinism. And I think it's very true, because from what he said, I'm very shook about some of them. And if we have specialists in this area, like we have a dermatologist, a dentist, who can sit down and just study this one and know how to treat, we'll have more solutions for them. Like some of the things he stated, you can even have doctors coming in with support to help with giving people, the average person, some creams and stuff to help them live their daily lives.
I'm thinking if you're listening right now, as we mentioned before, Richard Akita's quote for Daily Fix was, resources are endless but limited to the lazy, right? I'm not here saying you're lazy or anything, but we discussed some things between us, Sandra, Debbie and myself. We discussed some things, which is problems and issues like this, they are opportunities, right? The opportunities. It's just a mindset issue. So if you're there, you're a child, you're wondering, what should I study? This is a field. You can take up dermatology and have a focus on albinism. You never know the research and the breakthroughs that might come from you your sacrifice that you make, right? If you're an NGO or someone who is, you're overflowing with resources and you don't know what to do with your money, or there is something on your heart you want to do for people, but you don't know what, right? People living with albinism, it surely is a place that you can consider, right? Let's have also our policy makers, you know, take interest in this.
Sure.
Because when we see so-called important people in society talking about these things and making moves that will aid, you know, in the protection of people living with albinism and also throwing light on the condition, then the regular, you know, everyday people would also pay attention, right, and take interest in these things. But if people in power, right, various, you know, quarters of power, you are not taking interest in this, I mean, it's dangerous.
I'm sad. I don't say appalled. Like, you know, the issue around albinism or the people living with the condition has for a long time been shrouded in this
mystery.
And I never thought to this extent that this is what the group of people have been experiencing.
Right.
So it's merely, I am a culprit, I don't know about you, but merely us, you know, little corners trying to make fun of, oh, we don't see their posters, oh, they never die, oh, they just vanish. Right. And I'm now getting to understand the weight of the issue. And it's sad that these things are not taught. Like, medical professionals are claiming this is a thing. Mm-hmm. This is serious.
Yep.
And we need to do some more. We need medical practitioners. We need scientists.
I was wondering, the first one he said they were scared to touch him. I'm wondering whether they were trying to contact vitiligo or what's causing it. It's really strange.
I'm surprised.
Right, but that's ignorance, right? That's ignorance.
Do you guys have a difference with albinism and vitiligo?
Yes. And we have.
Yeah, I'm sure some people have a full form of vitiligo, spread on the end.
I think for them to, their condition should be something similar to ours.
Mm.
So they have melanin, some parts of
patches of melanin.
Yes.
And we have models who have vitiligo, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's become like a pride point.
Yeah,
like
they have really pushed out.
Yeah.
I mean, we even have albinos who are coming out.
Right.
Yeah. Little.
Right.
But I just want to ask one thing. Do you have benefits? We've been talking about all the
challenges. Yeah, but you mentioned privileges.
Yes.
And I was also asking if you have some abilities or unique things. Uh-huh.
So we have the Disability Common Fund. It's open to everyone.
Okay.
So in that context,
you benefit from that. You can apply for it.
But that's a huge community. The disability community is a huge community.
And you know something? Yeah. Some of us have been discriminated from that because people don't believe that their condition is with disability. Unless maybe someone who knows you to help you get that support. Mm. Yeah.
Right. But you mentioned the privileges. You have some privileges.
Yes. It's the privilege that every person with disability gets, as to maybe when you're going for election, you don't join queue. Mm. When you're going to the bank, you don't join queue. Mm. Yeah, those things you are open to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. You can tell.
I was even thinking about the privilege they have when they travel outside the continent. Mm.
Oh, for that one, I think it's normal because when you go to maybe somewhere like US, they see us one of them. So there's not like discrimination. Right. But then imagine a white mom coming from US to Ghana. The way the blacks
we
appreciate them, you welcome them. So imagine having someone similar to the white man in Ghana, but you don't want to appreciate that one. But when you go there and then a white man see you and call you black, then you want to be offended.
Right. That's the thing, right?
So I think a friend of mine traveled to Italy and then she was like, Richard, Italy, the racism is serious. And I was like, you see it. When we are in Ghana, what you guys are doing to us? When they did the same thing to you, you are complaining. But
Richard, it's a brilliant observation that you've made because it's all discrimination, but we forget.
Yeah.
So if you hate a white person or someone of another race hating on you because of your skin, understand that it's the same pain. You see, sometimes people think, racism is different from other forms of discrimination. It's all discrimination. Tribalism, racism,
all of them.
It is discrimination. And it hurts, including when ladies say that they don't like guys who don't have money.
Really? Did we have to do that?
It is also discrimination.
He just had to choose.
No, I had to. I'm not saying it's on the same pedestal, but I'm just saying all forms of discrimination is discrimination.
It's not.
Look at you. She's triggered. Okay, so Richard Kabu.
Like
if someone wants to talk to the group, right, GAPA, right, they want to talk to you because I believe that your group offers some psychological, you know, warmth and embrace to help people, you know, accept their condition and also how to live, you know, a safe and healthy life. How can people reach out to you?
So we are located at Abaca, the traffic light, the Rehab Center. That's where our office is.
Okay.
Then you can also call my number, which is 0556-315-071, 0556-315-071, or 0262-401-427, 0262-401-427.
Are you on social media?
Yeah.
Okay, what's
Ghana
your handle?
Association of Persons with Albinism on Facebook.
Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism.
Yes.
And it's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Are you on Twitter?
Just Facebook.
Just Facebook for now.
Yeah.
Ghana Persons Living. Ghana Association of Persons Living with Albinism.
Persons with
Albinism.
Albinism. Okay. Yes.
Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism. Cha. Or GAPA.
GAPA.
GAPA, you said. GAPA. All right.
Right.
Final question. Are you in collaboration with any other African nation? You know, do you link up in that sense?
Sure. Okay. So now we are working on the pilot action plan, as I said earlier on, so that we can push it to parliament. So we are looking at other countries who have been able to battle this discrimination and stuff, to make some amendments from them and then add up to ours so that we can push it to parliament. Okay. So we are also working with the African Albinism Network in all these plans so that we can push the issues concerning albinism higher in our country.
All right. That's Mr. Richard Kabu. Thanks for coming over to talk to us. He's the Programs and Research Officer at the Ghana Association of Persons with Albinism. Mm. GAPA is the shortening.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for
it's a
coming.
Pleasure. Thanks for coming. If you're watching us, if you're listening to us, there is absolutely nothing wrong with sitting or being in the same space with someone living with albinism. We are not in any danger. He is a regular person like you and I. Yeah. You've heard him talk, you know, brilliant guy, friendly guy. He makes jokes as well. He understands jokes as well. He's like you. Right, he's like you. He's like
to be very
you and I.
Intelligent people.
Oh yes, yes, yes. I mean, you know, some situations push you to the wall, and it makes you think in ways that regular people don't think, and it can become an advantage, right? It can become an advantage to you. Use your disadvantage as an advantage. The hard work starts from the mind. We said before.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's do a song, and then we'll draw the curtains down on today's Africa Daily Show. I mentioned Salif Keita, that's a record for him.
This is an Africa Global Radio production.